Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to APJ Surendra Park Hotels Limited Q1 FY2027 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shreyas Daga from SMFS Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Shreyas Daga from SMFS Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the APJ Surendra Park Hotel earnings call for the first quarter of FY27. We have with us the management represented by Ms. Priya Paul, Chairperson and Executive Director, Mr. Vijay Diwan, Managing Director, and Mr. Atul Khosla, Senior Vice President Finance and CFO. Without any further delay, I request Ms. Priya Paul to start with her opening remarks, followed by operational and financial highlights of the company. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss our earnings for the first quarter of financial year 2027. On behalf of the board and management team at APJ Surendra Park Hotels, I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all participants on this call. Let me begin with the broader hospitality environment. The first quarter of FY27 was marked by a dynamic operating environment for the hospitality industry. Geopolitical developments during the quarter created some temporary disruption to international travel and air connectivity. However, domestic travel remained largely resilient, supported by leisure travel, domestic corporate movement, weddings, and social occasions. This resilience continues to provide a strong foundation for the industry's growth as well as ours. The demand-supply environment also remained favorable with limited additions of quality hotel rooms across several key markets. At the same time, improving connectivity and rising travel aspirations are broadening the opportunity for branded hospitality beyond the traditional metropolitan markets, with select Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities emerging as increasingly attractive destinations. We believe that structural opportunity for Indian hospitality remains strong. The combination of rising domestic travel, increasing preference for branded accommodation, improving connectivity, and measured supply addition should continue to support the sector over the medium to long term. For APJ Surendra Park Hotels, our focus remains on building a differentiated hospitality platform across hotels, food, beverage, and lifestyle experiences. Our portfolio across luxury, upscale, and upper mid-scale segments allows us to address diverse customer requirements while maintaining the distinctive positioning of all our brands. Our F&B and entertainment ecosystem remains an important differentiator for us. We have built a strong presence across restaurants, nightclubs, and bars, allowing us to participate in the broader lifestyle opportunity alongside our core business. Clue is an important part of this platform. This 100-year-old brand has continued to expand beyond its heritage Kolkata presence. I am delighted that we have started our expansion in Delhi NCR with the opening of a new cafe in Gurugram. We see significant opportunity to build it into a larger national premium cafe and retail F&B network through an asset-light model. The brand now has 111 outlets across cafes, kiosks, and tea rooms. Looking ahead, our growth strategy remains focused on expanding our presence selectively across attractive markets while maintaining capital discipline. We see increasing opportunities to scale through managed properties and other asset-light formats, particularly across emerging leisure, pilgrimage, and urban destinations. Our longer-term ambition is to build a larger and more scalable hospitality platform with more than 6,000 keys by FY 2030. As we pursue this ambition, we will remain selective in our market choices and continue to focus on strengthening our brands and enhancing the quality of our portfolio. Alongside expansion, we remain committed to unlocking the potential from existing assets and maintaining the high standards of hospitality and guest experience for what we are known for. Activity at our new properties in Juhu, Kolkata and Vishakhapatnam continues to be steady and openings are on schedule. Overall, we remain confident in the long-term prospects of Indian hospitality and the opportunities available to APJ Surendra Park Hotels. Our differentiated brands, diversified portfolio and scalable growth strategy provides a strong foundation for the next phase of our journey. With this, I would now like to hand over to Mr. Vijay Dhawan, Managing Director of the company, who will take you through the detailed operational and financial highlights for the quarter and the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Paul. Good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to all of you for being with us today. We have started FY27 with a positive momentum, demonstrating the resilience and strength of our business model. 33 of the 69 apartments available for sale have been sold in our EM Bypass Hotel and Residential project at Calcutta. This will lead to improved cash flow of 70 to 80 crores during the course of the year, of which 21 crore is already being received for quarter one. Continuous stream of income from this project will help propel growth for the company. Despite headwinds on account of West Asia crisis, near flat air traffic growth during this quarter, high energy cost and supply chain disruptions, we have retained India's leading occupancy position of 92% and have maintained our leadership in RevPAR in the upper upscale segment. In Q1 FY27, we have delivered operating revenue of 167 crores, reflecting a growth of 8% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at 47 crores, up 3% year-on-year, with EBITDA margin at 28.12%. At the consolidated level, revenue achieved was 172 crores, up 10%, and EBITDA at 52 crores, up 8% over last year. This performance once again affirms the strength of our brands and the relevance of our differentiated hospitality proposition. PAT for the quarter stood close to 12 crores, a decline of 14% year-on-year, with a PAT margin close to 7%. This decline is an impact of higher finance costs to propel expansion during this period, as well as deferred tax provision of 2.2 crores as the company shifts to the new favorable income tax regime. The debt-to-equity ratio remains extremely favorable at 0.12 and debt-to-EBITDA net debt to EBITDA at 0.7 to 1. Food and beverage remains an important part of our overall hospitality ecosystem, contributing approximately 43% of total revenue during the quarter. Our restaurants, nightlife, and experiential dining formats continue to complement our hotel business and provide additional revenues for customer engagement and revenue generation. Ranbas, the Palace Patiala, remains featured in the pre-Versailles global list of architecture and design hotels. And this July, Ranbas hosted the prestigious Raleigh and Chateau annual regional conference, of which Ranbas is also a member. Several Zone by the Park and Zone Connect properties received TripAdvisor Traveler Choice Awards and recognitions during this quarter. These recognitions reinforce the strength of our brands and our continued focus on delivering differentiated guest experiences. Coming to Fleury's, the brand continued to strengthen its presence and now has 111 outlets across cafes, across canteen rooms. During the quarter, we added a new outlet at Innovit Mall, Vishakhapatnam. Subsequent to the quarter, we have further expanded into North India with the opening of our first standalone Fleury's Cafe in Gurugram in August. Fleury's enters New Delhi with the openings at Green Park in September 26 and at Greater Kailash 2 in October 26. We continue to see opportunities to expand the Flurries brand across Delhi and other markets through an asset-light model. By the end of this year, we are working to deliver 29 additional outlets to take the overall Flurries store count to 140 stores. Looking ahead to FY27, we now have a pipeline of 12 hotels comprising of 472 keys for this year. These additions are expected to take our portfolio from the current 42 hotels with 2,677 keys to 3,149 keys by the end of FY27. On the development front, we have made continued progress across several strategic projects. At EM Bypass, Calcutta, our integrated hospitality-led mixed-use development comprising of 218 hotel rooms and 69 service apartments. The project has witnessed record-breaking sale of service apartments and continues to demonstrate encouraging traction with 33 apartments being already sold. The project has also seen healthy realizations with average realization at approximately 20,633 per square foot. The strong sales momentum from this project, as stated earlier as well, is significantly improving our cash flows and will provide additional support for the ongoing growth of initiatives and opportunities. This project is slated to be completed by early 2030. We have also made significant progress on the Park Mumbai at Juhu. The 78-room project has completed its design phase and is targeted to be launched in October 27. It will further strengthen our presence in one of India's important hospitality markets. In Vizag, we have made good progress on the upcoming 100-room hotel with the project teams already on site. The project is expected to be launched during the course of this month and is expected to be completed by early 2030. We also continue to evaluate opportunities that can strengthen our portfolio in high-potential leisure markets. The acquisition of the Malabar House in Fort Kochi is currently in progress. The property comprises of 17 keys on approximately half an acre of land and is expected this acquisition is expected to be completed by October-November of 2026. At Pune, the FSI available to us on our land has changed from 2.5 lakh square feet to 6.7 lakh square feet. This will add immense value to our business. Our plan is now to utilize 2.5 lakh square feet of FSI towards hotel development and 4 lakh plus square feet of FSI towards residential development, enhancing value for our company. Overall, over the next 4 years, we plan to double the number of hotels from 42 hotels with 2,667 keys to 87 hotels totaling to 6,719 keys. 2x growth in our own assets and 3x plus growth in the asset-light model. Flurries growth in outlets is planned to reach 400 outlets in the same period by 2030. Operational efficiency and technology also remains key priorities for us. During the quarter, we completed the implementation of SAP S/4HANA for finance. This will strengthen our financial controls, improve the quality and timeliness of reporting, and enhance operational efficiency across the organization. We believe these investments in our internal systems and processes will become increasingly important as we scale our portfolio. At APJ Srinza Park Hotels Limited, our journey continues to be guided by the 3G principles of growth, governance, and green. These provide the strategic foundation for the business while Our focus on purpose, people, and performance defines how we translate our strategy into action. The three G's and three P's together shape our organization that is ambitious in its growth, responsible in the way it operates, committed to its people, and focused on delivering sustained value for all our shareholders. We are well placed for the opportunities ahead, supported by a healthy balance sheet, a strong development pipeline, growing brand equity, and an experienced leadership team. Our focus now is on disciplined execution, expanding in high potential markets, strengthening our brand, and improving return on capital. With the Indian hospitality sector in a compelling growth cycle, we believe we are well positioned to capture a higher share of the opportunity and deliver sustained long-term growth. The subsequent quarters in the industry will be supported by the upcoming BRICS Summit in Delhi, about 40 wedding dates during the course from now to March, Aero Show, an exhibition at Bangalore, and the Bharat Mobility Expo, among others. On behalf of my team across the organization, I would like to thank you for your continued trust and confidence in our journey. Your support and belief in what we are building at APJ Surendra Park Hotels inspires us to aim higher and create enduring value. With this, I would now like to hand over to the moderator to open the floor for a question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Archana Gure from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. So firstly, on occupancy, we have one of the highest occupancy amongst the organized players, and at 92% more or less, it looks we are at peak level of occupancy. So henceforth, since we have to play on ADR, how we should look at that part of operating metrics evolving for us? I do understand due to West Asia crisis, ADR could have been slightly under pressure in Q1. However, on a long term, what kind of growth should we expect? Your guidance on that would be helpful, sir.
So thank you, Archana. First and foremost, we have definitely done exceedingly well in achieving 92% occupancy and also outperformed the market in terms of the RevPAR. The quarter, as I mentioned, has seen a lot of pressure building in because of the West Asia crisis, as well as the oil crisis, one could say, in India, and also for the reason that the domestic air travel growth has actually been quite subdued. In fact, domestic passenger traffic has been flat, and international air traffic into India during this course of this quarter has declined by almost 10%. And also there have been supply-side disruptions. Now, as we are moving into the quarter two and quarter three and quarter four, things have sort of stabilized and normalized. And as I mentioned, there are going to be a lot of conferences and conventions which India is going to be full of, starting with the BRICS Summit in Delhi. In fact, the tourism section of the BRICS Summit has already started. And this is going to really drive occupancies and demand in the city of Delhi. Apart from that, there are many other conferences and conventions which are planned, as I mentioned, the Aero Show in Bangalore, as well as the Bharat, Mobility Expo, which is actually going to take place in Delhi in both the venues, which is the Mandapan, which is at Pragati Maidan, and the Yash Bhumi at near Dwarka. So both the convention facilities and exhibition facilities are going to be used for the Bharat Mobility Expo. So there is, and then along with that, there are going to be almost 40 wedding dates which are there between November and March. So we are expecting that the ADRs from now, because starting with the BRICS summit and then wedding season and all these conferences and exhibitions, to definitely keep growing. So we expected the ADRs to improve, and based on that, the performances to also improve as we move forward. So expect good ARR growth as we move forward. And obviously, we are market leaders in occupancy and RevPAR. So we expect that the quarters ahead are going to be distinctly better than the quarter which has gone by. And we are very positive on the quarter which has gone by as well, because overall, if you will see, the growth is 10%, and with other income, our EBITDA growth has also been 8%. So we expect that this trend to continue.
ADR growth of 2%, if you can just guide us some more on this. What would have been our ADR growth in absence of the disruptions we had? Somewhere we're talking about mid-teens kind of growth on top line. So if I want to achieve that, it's 2%, I think, will be behind the schedule. So can we reach that? Yeah.
So ARR growth in key markets has particularly, first let's look at the market. On the whole, the All India market growth in ADRs during the quarter has only been 6%. And again, as I am mentioning, the reason for this is because the passenger air traffic passenger growth has been quite depressed. In fact, if we are to remove the city of Delhi, there has been a deep contraction in terms of the air passenger traffic. Mumbai has actually declined by 3.5%. And Hyderabad has declined by over 12%. Similarly, Chennai dropped by 13% in terms of domestic passenger arrivals. So there has been pressure on in terms of the ARR, largely because of the, as I mentioned, the West Asia crisis and this air passenger traffic demand going down. But things are stabilizing. So we can expect to definitely high single-digit ARR growth as we go forward. Plus, we are going to be also helped by the stabilization of our palace properties, which is the Ranbas Patiala, where we are experiencing very high ARR growth. Already it is at 33,000, and in Lotus Palace, Chettinad, we are at 13,000. So we expect that as the season comes in, the ARR growth should be in the range of high single digit for sure.
That was helpful. So my second question from Flurry is, as you mentioned in the opening remark, we are now at 111 outlets. A few quarters before, we had aggressive plans on expansion of Flurry, but number-wise, we're yet to get there. So what is really missing here, sir, if you can elaborate? I know you spoke about adding 40 stories in FY27, at 111, we are still 29 stories away. So how should we plan that addition going forward?
So Flurries, as you know, has been growing at a very steady pace since 2019, when it had 17 outlets. It has now moved to 111 outlets with a CAGR growth of 21.5%. And it continues to grow. We have opened by now we have opened 5 outlets, but all the other part of the growth has been completely mapped. We are going to open 29 outlets as we go forward. During the course of the year, we are going to open 3 more outlets in Pune. We are going to be expanding into Pune with 5 outlets, Mumbai 3 outlets. We are going to further expand in Hyderabad by adding 5 outlets. NCR, we have already signed these outlets. we are expected to be opening 7 more outlets during the course of the year. As I mentioned, we are opening at Green Park by September, by end of this month or early September, and then we open the Greater Kailash outlet in the month end of September or early October. So, and then other outlets are also being signed to open during the course of the year. So we will have about 7 outlets further opening in Delhi. In Bangalore, we want to enter the market of Bangalore. We plan to open 4 outlets there. There are a lot of other tie-ups which we are exploring. One is tie-up with the Adani Group for airports across India. And second most important is that we are very close to signing All India deals with the Phoenix Mill as well as with DLF. Alongside this, Pluries has a plan to, is very close to finalizing deals with PVRs, and where we could open 10 outlets simultaneously. So Pluries has very strong growth plans, and we plan to add 29 outlets from here on to end the year at about 140 outlets by the end of the year. And then, of course, the overall plan is that by the time we reach 2030, we have 400 outlets of Pluries. So it is committed to its strategy. Also, Pluries celebrates 100 years. And as we celebrate 100 years of Pluries next year, we are also looking at having 100 outlets of Pluries in West Bengal alone by the time we complete 100 years of Pluries.
Sure, sir. That was helpful. So my last...
Thank you, Archana.
And this sustainable over the next 3 quarters. That's the last question, sir.
Sorry.
Archana, we are unable to hear you. Can you repeat your question once again, please?
So my question was on other income. Is the run rate sustainable over the next 3 quarters?
We have other income of 4.79 crore, which includes about 2.7 crore from mutual funds, which will be sustainable and over the other crore. So around 4 crore will be sustainable in quarter by quarter. So that is how the mutual fund income, which this quarter was 2.73, and there was some small other incomes from scrap sales and other miscellaneous incomes. So I think around 3.5-4 is sustainable on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
See, to add to what Mr. Khosla has just said, you know, as I mentioned, so far 21 crores of additional in cash flow has come in into the company because of the sale of VM Bypass. We expect that by the end of the year, additional, we should have another 50 crores coming in, and this will get added to the mutual funds which we have at the moment, which is close to 97 crores. So this should be, plus with EBITDA income, this should substantially increase and keep on increasing our other income. So this other income is likely to remain stable, not stable, I would say, but likely to further increase during the course of the year, because of the sale of the apartment, and of course because of good performance on account of EBITDA.
Sure, sir. That was helpful. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Devansh Patel, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, I just wanted to ask, what proportion of your existing hotel portfolio is currently mature, and how much of your performance improvement over the next 2 years would simply come from the newer properties turning mature?
So currently, as you know, we are operating hotels under different brands. One is, of course, we are operating under the Park brand, park collection van, then zone by the park and zone connect by the park. Now, the most all the properties at the moment which we have are in mature stage or they are entering maturity stage. The two properties which we opened last year, that is Ranbastha Palace at Patiala and the Lotus Palace Chettinad, they are already in the entering the maturity phase. As I mentioned, that the Ranbastha has already clocked 33,000 ARR during the course of this year, and it's likely to further go up. And then, of course, the Lotus Palace has recorded 13,000 ARR and is also likely to go up. The occupancies at these two important hotels is expected to stabilize fully during the course of the year. So we are expecting good results on account of stabilization at Patiala as well as stabilization at the Lotus Palace in Chettinad. Also, as you would know, that we also acquired a 15-room property at the Vemmenad Lake. This property we acquired this year, and this property is also likely to stabilize during the course of the year. The season time for Vemmenad Lake starts in Q3, and it reaches peak form in Q4. So these three properties which are there, which were acquired, are also supposed to stabilize and add immense value to our ARRs and also to our overall performance. The other properties which are under development, which is Calcutta and Visakhapatnam, these properties are expected to open in 2030, and normally hotel properties take about 2 to 3 years to stabilize, but at Calcutta, since the demand-supply imbalance is huge, Calcutta has the lowest inventory in terms of metro cities, only 5,111 keys, and not much of inventory is coming in. We expect very high performance at our hotel in Calcutta, the second hotel in EM Bypass, as it opens. Similarly, in Visakhapatnam, there is very limited inventory. In fact, inventory is really short in Visakhapatnam. And that hotel also, when it opens in 2030, should open with a very high performance and high ARR. And also because of its locations, these properties are also going to open with, should open with very high performance and high ARRs.
Sure, sir. Got it. Just a follow-up on that side only. How long does it typically take for a newly opened property to reach its targeted operating metrics, and what is the trend for this stabilization period? So is this decreasing in the coming years? So just wanted to know on that.
So good question, Mr. Patel. So normally hotels that normally take 2 to 3 years, but it depends on the selection of the market more than anything else. So park strategy firstly is that we operate hotels in great locations, and it will continue to be the strategy. So location makes a very big difference. The second is that we are looking at opportunities in high potential markets. Now, as we have entered, we already had, say, a hotel in Navi Mumbai, and we are going to enter the city of Mumbai. So Mumbai is a very high potential market. High potential markets you can stabilize within 1 to 1.5 years only of your operation. You will stand to stabilize. You may actually, in a market like Mumbai, actually outperform the market itself with a new product. So similarly, we are entering the market of Pune, again a very high potential market. So we expect to stabilize in the very first year itself. Same goes for our second hotel in Calcutta. So our strategy is based on location, strategy is based on high potential markets, so with limited stabilization time. So yes, if you are entering a resort market or a new market, it takes about 2 to 3 years, as we are also experiencing in the Lotus Palace at Chettinad and in the Ranbas, the Palace at Patiala.
Sure, sir. That answers my question. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Jayant Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So, could the service apartment component at EM Bypass ultimately generate a higher return on the underlying land than a conventional hotel development? And is this influencing how you evaluate future land parcel? Like, how do you see it?
So, as we are gaining experience through the sale of service apartments in EM Bypass, we strongly feel that this could be the right way for this mixed-use development could be the right way to move forward. Because typically hotels, you know, they have the return on capital employed in hotels tend to be have a longer, firstly they are, it's difficult to get double-digit return on capital unless, of course, as we are in high potential markets. So this could be the best way to move forward. Now, looking at EM Bypass project itself, it is going to give us cash flows of 70 crores this year, almost 120 crores next year, followed by another 100 crores in the third year, and the remaining 30 to 40 crores in the fourth year. So we expect to have sale of 300 to 325 crores, which is our share in this mixed-use development. And the same amount of money is going to be used for the development of the hotel at EM Bypass, which is going on at the same time. So the hotel is going to be virtually free. So obviously, the return on capital employed not only for this project but for the company could actually very soon be heading from where we are at the moment in double digits and just double digits at around 10% to actually go way past 20% as this project goes live. So similar model we are going to, it's a high potential company at the moment where we are placed. So as soon as this project goes live, from where we are sitting on return on capital employed at roughly about 9 to 10%, it is sort of really double by the time we reach 2030. Similarly, in Pune, we have this advantage of land and FSI. Originally, the FSI has changed from 2.5 lakh square feet to now 6.7 lakh or close to 7 lakh. So there also we are planning a similar model. So expect very high return on capital in our business, as I said, sort of doubling by the time we reach 2030. So it's a good way forward, mixed-use development, as we have also learned is a good way to develop hotels. Otherwise, the cost of land in India is significantly higher. Typically, if you are doing a hotel, it should be not exceeding 20%. But in all these markets, the cost of land in India is very high. So ROC, return on capital employed as a result of it, is not proportionate. But our company is very, very cautious on this, is very focused on this, I would say. As I'm again saying, this expect that proceeds frankly go through the roof and beat sort of all competitors.
Okay, sir. Actually, I was coming to Pune point, but you already answered. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Singh.
Thank you. Next question is from Rano Saishwar Ravikar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, I want your CapEx guidance updated for FY27. If you can provide the split between old projects, maintenance CapEx and refurbishment, that will be helpful.
So Mr. Khosla will take this question for you.
See, we have earlier also guided for all these projects, which is Pune, Mumbai, Pune 200 room, Mumbai 250 room, Vizag 100 room, and here Bypass around 220 rooms, and Jaipur 150. We will have a capex of 930 rooms with a capex of 1,140 crore. Plus, we have spent this time overall acquisition of Zillion, about 110 crore already spent, but additional renovation will be about 80 crore, so, and Kochi acquisition of 64 crore, it comes to about 350 crores. Out of which, from EM Bypass, you will get finance about 350 crore. So, now the balance is, in addition, we will have an operation capex of 40 crore for about 4 to 5 years. Every year we pump in that, which helps in improving the existing properties and the requirement, which is around 200 crore. And Furis is again 40 crore, around approximately capital allocated to make it 200 crores, which will help us in achieve the target of 400 Furis by FY30-31. Now, this overall capex requirement net of EMPAPA's contribution come to about 1500 crore. Even with the current average EBITDA level about 240 to 250 crore, we should be able to achieve it we will have about 1,300 crore in over a period. So that's how the capex will be fine. And if in case some 100 to 100 crore is required, we will net debt to EBITDA is very low. We will be able to finance it. Within this year, there could be around 200 to 250 crore of the capex requirement. That is the average requirement of this year, which is already we have got funds in mutual fund, and about 80 crore is coming through. EM Bypass project. Third, we also still keep the line of credit available. So for Zillion, like finance is tied up. Zillion means a due property. It's already tied up. Long-term financing is also tied up.
Okay. Sir, I have one more question. So, year-on-year revenue increased by 8%, but PAT is contracted to 14%, provided a 60% spike in interest cost. So, I just wanted to ask, can you more elaborate on this?
Regarding, so, the PAT, of course, we did mention that there's a finance charge increase, about 2.5 crore. A 3 crore increase over the last year, same time last year, is mainly on account of acquisition financing of Zillion, which has got to, which will get charged off. So that has led to some, lower PAT. That is the reason for the lower PAT. The second thing is, which we have also said, we have now shifted to a new regime of taxation. So if you see in Q4, so, although the amount of tax is 8.71 crore in CFS compared to 12 crore of the quarter 4 and 8.9 crore of the quarter 3. So, at present, my tax rate from next quarter, at present it has gone from 35% to 25%. Now we are coming in new regime so that we will have future max credits. But, so this time it just have a 40% tax rate, but in future, in the quarter 2, quarter 3, quarter 4, my tax rate is going to come down to around 32-35%, and will improve substantially the PAT further going forward in under new regime. And I would also request that your comparing PAT compare with the Q4, not with the tax you trade with the Q4, not with the Q1.
Okay, sir. Sure. Thank you. All the best for this.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohan Jay, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, my question was on the line that what do you assess, like how do you assess a new market before committing an expansion to it? Like what are the thresholds or the return expectations you set that determine whether you enter or don't enter a particular market?
So, Joe has been an amazing acquisition for us. Firstly, the acquisition cost is roughly below 40,000 rupees a square feet. This market, because of the change in rules, has already can be purchased. It was very high, so it has been a great acquisition. Market rates in Joe for acquisition are roughly plus of 1 lakh rupees per square foot. And this is actually the trend across Mumbai, but at least in Joe, it is definitely being a premium market. Is always been at 1 lakh rupees a square foot. Now, in our case, we have done a great acquisition, and it's at 40,000 rupees a square foot. So that is one big plus for the Joe market. And as the rules are changing in Joe, expect these valuations to go up. Bombay, in fact, in terms of real estate, is the best performing market, with properties even selling at 1.5 to 2 lakh rupees a square foot. The Joho market is by itself a high fashion and a high star market or high Bollywood market. It's a strong market for good hotels, for boutique hotels where we are. So this market is enjoying ARRs in the range of 18,000 to 20,000. By the time we are ready next year, expect these ARRs to further go up. At least Bombay market ARRs are going up in double digits, in 10% to 15%. There is not much of hotel supply coming up in Joho, and it will Bombay on the whole and Joho as well is a very high potential market, and our hotel is very strategically located in Joho, so we expect very high results from year one itself in terms of revenue as well as profitability. It's going to be, when we acquired, it had 60 service apartments. Now it is being converted into 78 to 80 room hotel, and our strength will play out very strong in this hotel, which is on the F&B side of the business. We are market leaders in providing, as I said, 43% is our share of F&B. And in this market, F&B is expected to be even stronger. We are market leaders in nightlife as well. So we are coming up with a rooftop bar. So we expect this hotel to perform exceptionally well for us in this high potential area as well as a high potential market.
Sure, sir. That was it from my side. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rohan Jain. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sahil Mahajan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes,
yes.
Sir. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. So I was looking at your annual report, and while looking at your balance sheet, I could see that the mutual funds you have are regular mutual funds and not direct mutual funds. So one of the questions was, why is that? And the second thing is, there are a lot of spelling mistakes in this list of mutual funds. I also mailed to the investor relations but never got a reply back. So I cannot see which exact mutual funds you have. Yeah, thank you.
I think, yes, we have reverted to that mail, but we'll again forward it to you. We do have the mutual fund portfolio consists of all season fund, bond fund of the ICICI, and 3 to 6 months of the again ICICI, C60 bond as a growth fund. We are lot of basis is a debt fund, so that in case of availability, we will have this. Nippon about 23 crores, which is again giving me 5.91 yield, and HFC CSL 3x6 fund, which gives me about 7% yield. So if you want, we can have a separately mail you also. And we have reverted to that mail as far as that was one particular fund which you were referring to one name. I think it was the ICICI mutual fund.
Yeah, so I was asking for all the funds and the list of and the other thing was why aren't we buying direct mutual funds?
Yeah, because we are trying to give this is short term run to propel the propel the inorganic growth and keeping the money ready available. So that whenever our acquisition opportunity comes, that is why keeping these funds. So we are not going into
So I understood that why are you buying debt mutual funds. I could not understood why are we not buying direct mutual funds and why are we paying higher fees by buying regular mutual funds.
So I think that is, we can have a offline query, but we are not paying higher fees. We can have a comparison with both things and we can, you can email it, we can have a call on this. We are not paying higher fees that I would do. So my net return from mutual fund is comparative and higher with the market. Net return on mutual fund.
Okay,
and for to highlight the point, even in this quarter, 2.8 crore is on account of mutual fund only.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. I now hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
So thank you. I would like to thank you all for joining the call today, and I hope we were able to address all your queries. If you have any further questions, you can reach out to our investor relations team at Valorem Advisors or directly to us. And thank you once again for participating in this call.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of SMFS Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us today. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.